Welcome. Please just relax and listen to what is going to be said here today. And a lot of times we don't remember a lot of what we hear. And we think, oh, I can't remember, there's something wrong with me. But actually, this is a natural protection and natural functioning, because so much of what we hear doesn't have anything to do with what's really true. So we just filter things out and only gather in the information that we absolutely need to go on. But we're all perfectly capable of absolute retention of everything we hear, at remembering everything we hear, and also being able to restate it. This is our natural state. Our natural state is that we're all knowing. So with that said, just relax completely, and you can listen here. You can listen here. It's okay. You don't have to defend yourself in any way or protect against what's being said, even though it may be new to you. So the first thing that I want to say following that is that every moment is identical and complete in itself. Every single moment is identical and complete in itself. Every moment is identical and complete in itself. Any idea that there's something different going on is something that has been learned. Or another way we could state that is that it is misinformation. Anything that says that moments aren't identical and complete is misinformation. And for us, in a practical way as human beings, in terms of our thinking, what that means is that we learn to take our thinking, whatever it is, as incomplete and not identical to any other thoughts we're having. So whatever appears in the mind from moment to moment, we compare it to some prior moment in time, and then we look to the future and projecting it out into that future and how it's going to compare to that. So what we learn is to not see things as identical and complete from moment to moment. The only way to see everything as unified, identical, and complete from moment to moment is to simply enjoy complete perceptual openness in all experience. When we learn that things aren't complete and identical, we learn to focus in on what's occurring and either accept it or reject it. We describe it in one way, and based on our description, we accept and reject what we see or what we hear or what we sense in any other way. Complete perceptual openness is just to relax the perception into wide open spaciousness. It's wide open, all knowing, seeing, with no need to ever close in on anything in order to make sense of what's happening. No need to close in on any thought to make sense of what's happening. The appearance of thought, the appearance of anything, is not in, it can't be separated from that complete openness. But the thought itself and its label and its description have absolutely no information, no information that's worthwhile. So all of the words that appear in the dictionary and all of the definitions of them have absolutely no information that is worthwhile to our well-being. All the words in the dictionary, no matter what they are, point to a specific definition of something as existing in its own right, as something fixed stable and solid that can be depended upon in some way to describe a world and to describe meaning and significance about what appears. When we just completely relax our seeing without any need to focus on all of these descriptions that we've learned, then we find something that's already present in ourselves, but maybe it's something we have never noticed or recognized. So we're not finding anything new. We're just finding our natural seeing. We're discovering our natural wide-open seeing and way of looking and sensing and experiencing a world. We're discovering, we're finding our natural state, but it isn't a destination we've gotten to. It's always been present throughout our entire life, from the very beginning of our life, even before our conception. This wide open seeing is always naturally present. When we completely relax our perception from this pinpointed focus, we see everything as it is. You know, we can see in all directions at once. It's just like I don't have to look behind me to see back there, because there isn't any back or front in seeing. In relaxed openness, just the relaxed, spacious openness of what's immediately present and complete in itself, there's no need to enter into any other noise field about that. You know, there's no need to enter into any other resonance or informational field about that. The entire space of information is wide open and free. The information is incidental, and it's only an appearance of that wide open sensory field. So most of us learn to fix our always already perceptual openness on whatever's appearing and focus on that. And when we do, we immediately disconnect from this openness in terms of our own experience. We completely disconnect from it. We go in to an individuated existence. We collapse into the idea of a self that isn't wide open. And we collapse into the idea of a self that relies on its own thinking and emotions to describe what's going on. And when we collapse into this individualized thinking and emotional field, then we're very restricted and limited. We're just restricted to that emotional field and its thinking and sensing and what we as an individual history have learned to describe about that. And so we live on the head of a pin. When we do that, we live on the head of a pin. Living on the head of a pin is a very small space. It's a very small space to could we make space for someone? When we just relax our perception from this pinpointed focus, then wow, there's no need to use any of that information to describe what's going on. There's just the relaxed openness of what's right here that is completely beyond any other information contained within it. So any of the incidental information within it is no longer necessary to describe what's going on. When we just relax into the openness of our own wide open seeing, then we enter the primordial space of wisdom, we enter the fundamental space of wisdom. We enter the fundamental space of all knowingness that doesn't need to rely on any of the way that things are conventionally described, whether thereby those descriptions are made up by others or us. So you see, we don't need to rely on anything. There's just complete perceptual openness in the immediacy of all experience. And in that is an inherent and immediate benefit for others and us. Nothing else is required. And our well-being is guaranteed. Our complete well-being is guaranteed. Not only our complete individual well-being is guaranteed, but the complete well-being of everyone is guaranteed. What could be simpler? There isn't anything that could be more simple than that. All the contrived notions of needing to describe a world and its beings in myriad ways they're simply conventions. They're beliefs. They're entirely made up. So, you know, if we describe ourselves as our thinking and emotions that we've accumulated over our lifetime, then we separate ourselves out from the enjoyment of what is immediately open, spacious and free, in which there is no sequence of time. What is immediately open, spacious and free is timelessly spacious, open and free. And in each moment, it's equally spacious, open and free. It doesn't need any pieces of the puzzle to understand the entire puzzle. It doesn't even need the puzzle to understand the puzzle. So in this way, awareness, complete perceptual openness, is the sovereign authority. The sovereign ruler over all, the greatest of monarchs, and that everything is united within it. Not only is everything united within it, everything within it is it. So there's never been any kind of separation of any kind. To describe this in philosophical terms is one thing. We can come to an understanding easily, intellectually, very easily. But to really know what this is about, that which we understand intellectually, we have to decisively experience it in our own being. In our own pure being, to just relax into the openness of that pure being that is naturally present, that pure being that is the beingness of love, wisdom, and energy all at once. And that love, wisdom, and energy is never tight, it's never tense, it's never restricted. It's never all tied up in knots. It's never been made up into anything. It's never been tied up into a thought or an emotion or an experience of any kind. It's always and forever flawless, stainless, wide open, and totally free, with no need to depend on anything. To say that it depends on something would make it incomplete. So whatever thought we have, whatever emotion we have, whatever experience we're having right here is completely open and free. The descriptions of it are empty. How are they empty? They're empty in that all descriptions, no matter what they are equal. All descriptions, no matter what they are, ultimately they describe this openness. So to every word in the dictionary, we could add an ultimate meaning, and that is the meaning of openness, complete openness. Wide and spacious and free. If we add that definition to all the definitions in the dictionary, then we experientially know what the definition is about. So, you know, this is our natural being, and to experience that natural being in a definitive way, moment to moment, really just requires this complete perceptual openness in all of experience. And by simply hearing about it over and over again, the certainty about that will dawn in you. Nothing else is required. You'll find that your perception naturally eases, and it becomes more and more open and free. It just relaxes after being so strained for all these years, focusing on everything. And if you want to do anything at all, just relax completely. Now, you see, this is not anything that someone can give you or take away from you. So, any ideas that it comes from someone else is, that's completely gone beyond. Such as anyone telling you that the nature of your being will come about through their grace. If anyone tells you that, just relax. The wondrous display is just whatever it is. You know, there are all kinds of things going on, right? We've heard it all. Everyone in this room has been around for at least a couple decades. So for at least a couple decades, we've heard it all. But some of us have heard it all for a lot longer than that. So we may have heard more of it all. The natural ease of your own being, just no matter what's going on in a completely unrestricted way, is the entire space of being wide open and free. Doesn't matter where you are, who you are, what you are, how you're feeling emotionally, what you're thinking, what your job is, what kind of clothes you're wearing, what your gender is, what your skin color is, what your eye color is, how old you are, anything else. All of these are just times to relax, if you think about any of these things. Who you are has never been institutionalized in any fashion. Thank you. So to institutionalize it is to presume who we are cannot be institutionalized in any way. It's never been made into anything. And it's not some cut-off state, like an arrogance that's cut off from everything. It's complete openness in all experience. Openness that is so super complete in itself and so identical to every other moment that it is, every moment is a moment of just that, you know, and total love and total splendor with no possibility whatsoever of being connected or disconnected from anyone or anything. Just so mutually interpenetrating, the total immersion and absorption of complete connectivity. With nothing whatsoever to defend or protect or guard. No need to even defend or protect or guard something as seemingly as important as our own life. Because there's complete, super complete knowledge that what we are does not depend on a life. Doesn't depend on anything. We're always and forever beyond all descriptions. Anything we can describe about our body or mind, we're forever beyond that without any escape. There's no escape hatch anywhere. There's no rabbit hole into another existence. Everything is already naturally present right here. So anything we describe about ourselves, all these things we've learned about our biology, our psychology, whatever it might be, we're always beyond that. Those descriptions always change. In every era of humankind, all those descriptions about the body and mind change. There's one way of describing the body and mind 100 years ago, another now, and 100 years from now there'll be something completely different. And what there'll be 100 years from now is based a lot more on what I'm saying here than what's gone on the last 100 years or even before that. Anything that we describe about our own body and mind is nothing. It has nothing to say about what we really are. And what we really are doesn't depend on anything we say about our body and mind. So we can say, oh, you know, I depend on all the organs of my body in order to live. I depend on my heart beating. I depend on my lungs breathing and air coming in and out and the heat of my body and the sun to be or water to drink or food to eat or whatever it is. But whatever we describe about our body, whatever we describe about our mind, we're not dependent on any of that to be. And when we enjoy complete perceptual openness in the immediacy of every moment, then we come to decisively experience that in a way that is unarguable. In other words, no one can argue with us about it. We could have someone denounce us, renounce us, say that we're a complete lunatic and all that, and it's like any other moment to us. It'd be just like the moment when someone says, you're the greatest, you're fantastic, there's never been anyone like you. Every moment is complete in itself. There's no need to rely on any description we have now or that we've had in the past or that we can see we might have in the future. To rely on those descriptions is to restrict and limit our wide open being.
You took the word self-identity of each moment, I remember, started. What does this mean, self-identity? Because seemingly everything is a little bit changing in the time. Being Ganga is not in the self-identity from moment to moment, but looking different.
What I actually said is each moment is complete and identical in itself. The difference is something that is learned. It's simply a way that we've learned to describe the world we live in and to differentiate what's happening. We've learned to say this moment is not identical to every other moment. And we're going to say that this moment is not complete in itself, but it needs to be tied to a lot of other moments in order to be understood. We learn to perceive things through the filter of difference. But that filter of difference is completely unnecessary to live in the world, to be completely at ease. In fact, it's completely counterproductive to living in the world and being at ease. Whether it's within ourselves or within the entire species. Now this is something, this is the truth of all ages. There's nothing new in what's being said here. This is the epitome truth of all ages. So it's not something new. This is something that is self-sprung in every moment of awareness. It can never be turned off. It's never been turned off. It never will be turned off. And the pure pleasure of it is that it's up to us to enjoy that or not. As human beings, we can either enjoy that or not. I was telling Heather this morning that, well, you know, I have these two little dogs, and they're the dogs of our family. And their names are Rudy Kazooty and Baby Kazooty. So some of you have heard about these dogs before. And soon we're going to have these meetings every day on the internet so anyone anywhere can watch and send in a real-time question. And then you'll get to see Rudy and Baby. They're not immense dogs, the kind that would completely cover up the camera on the computer. So they block it out there about this big, you know, about 19 pounds. And they're black and white, and they're Boston Terriers. They have these little ears that stick straight up. Does anyone know what they look like, Boston Terriers? Okay. And they have little square heads and a very short tail. Now, I'm going to give you other descriptions of them. They are, well, first of all, each one has its own personality, so to speak. Rudy is the father of baby, and Rudy is male, and baby is female. And Rudy is completely mellow. He is completely mellow. He is completely at ease everywhere he goes. No matter what happens, he is unruffled. He rarely barks, and he's just happy to be, you know, he spontaneously goes from here to there, never worried or concerned about anything. Baby is completely lively and fiery. So baby came on the scene, and she wanted to do was play. Well, Rudy never cared that much about playing. He's too mellow. But what does Rudy do when baby appears on the scene 6 years ago? Rudy starts playing. Baby wants to play. Rudy starts playing. So he's just completely spontaneous. You know, whatever's happening is happening. And he's had a mellow existence being the only one, and so he's had no other dog energy in his space. And all of a sudden there's this dog energy in his space. And baby is feisty, so if someone makes the wrong move, then she snaps. She never bites, but she just snaps. And everyone goes on alert. So, you know, she does the same thing with Rudy, her father. Rudy's had this mellow existence, but baby snaps at Rudy. Rudy just, he doesn't care at all. He just goes on his mellow way. Either baby's snapping or she's not. And so both of them have this beingness of absolute joy and love, unconditional love that is given and received. So not only do they give this unconditional love, but they can receive unconditional love. In other words, no matter how much adoration, attention, stroking, care, love that's just oozed all over them, they don't care. You know, they're just completely open to it without making anything out of it. So, you know, what am I talking about? Well, as I told Rudy, as I told him this morning, and Rudy too, you see, Rudy and I are in communication, and I'm in communication with baby too, because I'm their emissary. I'm their functionary. I'm just the speaking functionary. That's all I am. They appeared in my field so they could have someone to speak about what beingness really is. They've never taken themselves to be anything. They've never taken themselves to be a Boston Terrier. They've never even taken themselves to be a dog. They've never taken themselves to be a Rudy or a baby. They don't depend on any of this. They don't depend on the way they look or anything else. And they don't depend on anything that's going on in the immediacy of every moment. Their enchanted spontaneity allows them to be completely wide open and free. They see every moment as complete and identical in and of itself. And this spontaneity guarantees their complete freedom. You see, they don't have thoughts like, oh, am I going to have food today? Or are they going to be able to pay for this place next month? Am I still going to be able to live here? No, they don't have any of these thoughts. They're, gee, I wish they'd upgrade my kibble. But I mean, I know that they must not love me because they're giving me this kind of kibble. You see, none of these things occur. Everything, just as it is a tremendous teacher, no matter what it is. So you see, soon you'll be able to see Rudy and baby. These great teachers of beingness. Oh, Michael, you have something?
Just, I know it's intellectual, but it is like there is a moment that is totally complete in itself, no other thing will change out of the perception in this moment. Is it like this?
Pardon?
The only thing what change but not really change are the appearances in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment is always same, always complete, always perfect, only the appearances change.
The appearances change, but all the appearances are identical at the same time. So no matter what the appearances are, they're always and forever identical and equal. All the descriptions we've learned that describe everything as different and not equal, those are just contrived descriptions of what's going on. They're fine just the way they are. But in order to really understand them, we need to know more than their limited definition. To only know their limited definition is to collapse into that definition. Yeah.
Can you give us an example that every moment is identical and complete? You have to tell me, give me an example. You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Okay, the moment you were born, that moment was complete and identical to this moment when you're sitting here right now at whatever age you are. That moment that you were born is complete and identical to this moment.
Can you elaborate this, please?
Yes. If you look at the moment you were born and completely relax your perception about that, then there are no descriptions about it. You say, I was born. That's enough information. And just relax anything else about that. And then, you know, just to say I was born, that is a description about something that happened at some point in time. At this point in time, there's another description. But all these descriptions, whether they're of the moment you were born or this moment, they're completely identical and that they're always completely wide open. If you only know the definitions of all the different descriptions about the time you were born and then the descriptions of this moment, then that's how you describe the world you live in. But you see, with each one of these descriptions, what we can say about each one of these descriptions is that the words contained in the description are words that are in the dictionary. I was born. I am now. So we could look up the definitions of all those words in the dictionary. However, what we saw in the dictionary would only describe those words in a very limited way. It would describe things as they've been described by the most people who would agree with those descriptions. However, with each one of those descriptions, no matter what they are, if we look in the dictionary, they don't have the ultimate meaning. So each one of those descriptions has not only its mundane meaning, the description of its appearance, whatever it is, but it has an ultimate meaning as well. And that ultimate meaning always absorbs the mundane meaning within it. So the mundane meaning is always subsumed in the ultimate meaning. And the ultimate meaning is that all the words are completely identical. You see, the ultimate meaning of every word is the same. In order to understand a label, then it's important to know what the label refers to. So we have to know what the label refers back to. So if we take the label, for example, of you, we need to know what that refers back to. And in order to find out what it refers back to, we need to know what you are comprised of. So, you know, if you have an idea about yourself, that's the way you describe yourself. That's what you think you're that's what you think you're comprised of. You think your individual identity is comprised of these descriptions of yourself. So when you think that your individual identity is comprised of these descriptions of yourself, then that's all you know about yourself. You may not know the ultimate meaning of yourself. And so to really look at you, what you're saying when you say my identity is comprised of all my thoughts and emotions and my history, my gender, the country that I'm from, all of these, my age, all of these other things, then that's a very limited notion of who you are and who you take yourself to be. In order to really understand who you are, it requires going beyond that. Going beyond that. You really need to understand a label, you need to understand the underlying nature to which it applies. So no matter what you say about yourself, in order to understand the underlying nature to which it applies, you have to see how you can break yourself down, in other words, deconstruct this idea of yourself in a way that gives it more spacious meaning. So to deconstruct this idea of yourself, then you have to say, if I am comprised of all of this, then where is this I located here? Exactly where does it dwell? This is how we come to understand that label, to really understand its true nature. And so we can say, well, where am I located here? You know, exactly where am I? Am I located in my hair? And you'd say, no. Am I located in my skin? No. This eye is not located there. Is the eye located in the brain? Well, no, we can't really say definitively that the eye is located there either. So we could go through all the organs of the body, the heart, is the eye located there? Now we can't really definitively conclude that. There's no way to definitively conclude that. Not only can we not definitively conclude that, no one has ever been able to definitively conclude the location of this eye identity that is comprised of a personal history.
Why not in the brain?
Pardon?
Why not in the brain?
I'm getting to that. Why not in the brain? All right. Then we take all of these things about the body. We look for the eye, and we can't find it anywhere. And so you think the identity might be in the brain. Is that what you're saying? Well, everything that we know about ourselves, we know only due to awareness. We would have no knowledge whatsoever of anything about us without awareness. So we're aware of the brain, we're aware of other parts of our body. That's what's constant. So we have this awareness of all the descriptions about our body. This is what we can really say about ourselves so far. So now, why not the brain? Okay, I'll tell you why not the brain. let's say we took all of you, including your brain, and with no need to say exactly where you're located there, and we put all of you under an electron microscope. If we put all of you under an electron microscope, then we would see that you're really just comprised of electrons. We can't really locate an eye anywhere in those electrons. We can't locate you as a personal identity. And even if we showed all those electrons to your own mother and father, they couldn't say, oh yeah, this is my daughter. There would be no way that would be. And so now we have all these electrons, these subatomic particles, and we can take you or all of these electrons that you're comprised of ostensibly and put them into a linear accelerator, a linear particle accelerator, and boom, you know, then we see you're nothing but space. So this label that you've taken to be yourself suddenly has a much more spacious meaning. You thought yourself to be safe, stable, solid. you thought your identity of yourself to be limited to that which is stable and solid, but all of a sudden you see that which is stable and solid is space. And the space isn't something different from what is stable and solid. The space is what's stable and solid. So what is stable and solid is comprised of space. You are comprised of space. This identity that you thought to be individuated is comprised of space. However, there's still awareness of every step of this process. So every way you look at yourself, no matter what it is, there's awareness that's present as that description. Whether you're describing yourself as stable and solid, as open and spacious, or as a completely equal field of everything that's just described. So what we can really say about you in terms of a finite identity that we can prove is aware space. That's what we can say about everything, not just about you, about everyone in this room, or any label that we look at. If we want to really understand its underlying meaning, then we have to know what the label refers to. And what we have just shown here is that no label, no description, no matter what it is, has an independent nature. It does not have an independent, safe, stable, solid nature that can be separated out from aware space.
Like this idea that you take this accelerator only from space, I heard that, but that's like, you know, people that can tell me, I don't know, that you can go back to, you could fly in a spaceship to the stars and get back, you're 5 years old. It's nothing from experience. Again, you can tell me that the scientists find out that when you put it in this accelerator, we all become a pink pudding. That's what they find. Okay, then I feel it put a pink pudding then, you know? It's something, you know, they say, you know, it's nothing that I can relate to in my experience.
You're right. Not so far, but you know, I see people in this room who came in here totally puzzled and kind of confused by what's being said here, but now they understand it completely. So what happens? They come to realize in their own experience that this is true. So otherwise, it's just like a scientific theory, right? It's a scientific theory. That's all it is. But when you decisively experience that scientific theory, that's how you prove that it's true. To yourself. It's the only way. Until then, you'll be thinking about pink poodles, flying to the stars and becoming 5 years old. So, who knows what's possible, but you can't know unless you decisively experience the underlying basis of everything. So you can't know anything about anything unless in your own experience, moment to moment, you have the decisive experience of everything as it is. Until then, you'll be imprisoned in your brain, thinking about everything. Mm-hmm. Thinking about what's possible and thinking about what's impossible. And thinking about what might be possible. You're okay, though. I'll tell you that. You're okay. You may not get this right this moment, but you will get it.
When you say everything is the same, or everything is safe, then see, I find it hard to understand. It's okay, I'm here.
That's right, you are.
In this space.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And everything, no matter what it is, all these descriptions are absolutely equal. So the field of reality, the sheer field of enjoyment, is entirely equal. Everything is completely equal. The pink poodles and the trips to the stars, the brain and Israel and everything else. It's all equal. You like this. It's natural to you. I can tell that about you. You're here. Benny?
I don't know. All this stuff makes me feel kind of heavy, because there are all kinds of heavy words and linear particles and perceptual openness and awareness space, and sometimes it makes me go and study astrophysics and come back later to and I know all you say is true, but I also know that there are thousands of teachers that are telling the same thing, so it's just the search can go on forever.
Well, there aren't thousands of teaching the same thing. That isn't correct. So what is important is not only to be able to decisively experience the reality of what we are, but to be able to effortlessly describe it to anyone we meet. So in order to effortlessly describe it to everyone we meet, it requires that we never take up any kind of extreme. If we take up an extreme of a way of describing it, then it limits the people we can talk to. We have to not only be able to describe it to people who can easily understand, oh, everything is open, spacious, free, complete perceptual openness in all experience. Now, I'm one of those people. You see, I can understand that just with that description. But today, it's important to be able to describe it according to reason and logic. It has to be able to be described in order for everyone to understand it. And this requires never adopting an extreme. You see, with complete perceptual openness in all experience, where everything is complete and identical in each moment, then in my meeting with each one, whatever way it needs to be described can be described with no right or wrong, just absolute clarity. To say, oh, complete openness, wide open and free, that's one way of saying it, but it reaches a limited audience. And so, you know, if you have your own special way of describing it, that's great. However, for me, it's really important to be able to communicate with everyone. I'd much rather be able to communicate with everyone rather than be wrapped up in my own experience. You know, I'll tell you something about completely wide open love. Completely wide open love never gets tied up anywhere. It never gets tied up anywhere, not anywhere at all. Completely wide open love is completely wide open loving. You know, whatever is, whatever is. It's super complete in itself. It doesn't have any fixed ideas about anything. One moment it can be a perfect description here. Another moment it can be a perfect description here. But for everyone in this room, we've learned to argue, defend, analyze, conceptualize, describe, set ourselves off from others. But the complete perceptual openness in each experience allows us to just take whatever we need and leave the rest behind. What could be easier than that? Just take what we need and leave the rest behind.
I was just wondering what would be an extreme. You're talking about
extreme.
What would that be?
Well, an extreme description, for example, in terms of the macro sense of that, it would be to say that things either exist or they don't exist. Now, these are the two prevalent extremes, to either say that things exist or that they don't exist. So to take up either of those would be an extreme, to either say that they exist or they don't exist. What we can say about everything, according to the elaborate description I just gave, is that we can't really say that it exists, but we can't say that it doesn't exist either. Now, the descriptions that are given, they're not descriptions that are needed as any kind of objective support. Do you see what I'm saying? We don't always have to say to ourselves, oh yes, I'm aware of here today, I'm aware, or anything like that. It's just boom, what's right here, with no need to protect or defend in any way.
It's the identity of all words written in the dictionary, like a word empty space, or awareness.
Pardon?
The identity of all words in the dictionary.
The definition.
Yes. Would that be awareness or emptiness? Then I can understand a little bit.
Well, you see, we can only understand intellectually to a degree. Any kind of intellectual understanding is absorbed always and forever in complete openness, which is the greater category, in that everything within it is comprised of it. So you see, who we are is completely beyond description. It's completely beyond labels. And so when we say it's beyond extremes, then we just say it's beyond this and that, whatever the descriptions might be. And this is the importance of relaxed perceptual openness in all experience. Relaxed perceptual openness in all experience is all knowingness. It's all knowingness, or what is traditionally described as omniscience. All knowingness, omniscience. Omniscience, all knowingness, is knowledge of everything all together, as well as everything particularly. And that cannot be thought about. Thinking is always and forever absorbed within it. Thinking is the glow of aware space. It's just the glow of aware space. That's it.
What is the glow?
The glow, like the luster, the adornment, the ornament. Like if you were wearing earrings and a dress. Which would be fine by me.
Can I move back to the talking to the other girl and ask a question?
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
So, right now Ruby is very mellow and baby and they're really cute together and all is so good. And let's say, just hypothetical question, we take them, let's say, to somehow being taken to the cave up in the Himalaya for a couple of days and they're cold and they don't have any food. And then after 2 days, you come and you grab them and you take them back home. Do you think Rudy would be jumping on you and being so happy to be back? Or would still be as mellow up in the cave in the Himalaya?
Oh, yeah, when he's in the cave, he'll be happy to be there, you know, looking around, wondering where he is. When I show up, he'll be happy that I'm there. Whatever it is what it is to him. Yeah. their spontaneity isn't dependent on anything. It just isn't dependent on anything. And in this way, they are to be honored. I pay homage to these great beings. And to all beings everywhere. May we all be as spontaneous. May we all enjoy our own enchantment. May we easily understand our own enchantment. Now you see, it's very easy for us to understand our own enchantment, but to do so requires that we relax. Relax away from our need to have so many opinions. You see, when we're born, all that is born are opinions. That's it. And if we live our whole life thinking we're all our opinions, then when we die, all of a sudden we find out we weren't all those opinions. That's all that happens. So if when we're living, we know we aren't all those opinions, but that isn't what our identity is. Wow. That's what complete perceptual openness is. You know, I once thought about calling the teaching the Kazuti. But again, you see, if I'd gotten wrapped up in that,
sure, I know somebody that said something like the identification you seem to have, the I, the me, whatever, is the sum or result of all the resistance you have to life. So to me, compared to what you just said, you could say, this I, Michael, born and all that, it's like something like a compression or a sum of all the opinions that I have. Very similar to that. It's more, I know.
Yeah, the I, or any description, has never been a source of resistance. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, there are all these very contrived ways of talking about what we are, as though we need to somehow change all the descriptions in order to speak about what we are. Speaking about what we are is limited. We just complete perceptual openness in all experience. It's not an act of speaking, but yet it's the ultimate act of speech. Do you see, we don't hear anything, but everything is the self-sound, the self-appearance of that awareness. So there's never been an I to resist anything. There's never been any resistance anywhere. But you see, to try to think about that limits us to the realm of thinking about it. It's only in this wide open experience that it's definitively experienced.
Still the habit to grab it somehow.
To grab it, uh-huh, to try to think about it. Well, this is what people want to do. I mean, this is just what we've learned to do, so... We've learned to think that this is natural, to just think about everything, and then that's how we're going to form our opinions, and then that's what we'll know. But to think about everything, it's one way to spend a life, but I wouldn't want to spend my life that way. Yeah, I gave that up a long time ago, 25 years ago, and I'm glad I did. We're all happy I did. Everyone in my family is happy that. Even though a lot of people don't understand what happened to me, they're happy it happened.
Thank you very much for this answer.
The only instruction that ever needs to be given is just relax. That's it.
That's the difficult thing, isn't it?
Not really. I see many, many people all over the world to whom it's very easy.
Well, you have reached a very high status. Most of the people find it very difficult to relax.
What about
they
you?
They say, I'm relaxed, but they have tents inside.
Uh-huh.
The same goes for me.
Uh-huh.
I am relaxed. My husband was very relaxed. He said, I'm relaxed. He said, you don't. I said, I'm saying I'm relaxed, but actually I am not.
Would you like to get to know me?
I would.
Good. Then when you say to your husband, I'm relaxed, he will be.
That would be a miracle.
You know what it's a miracle of? It's a miracle of your own being, that's all.
I know that.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to know each other, okay? All right, good. All right, that's enough for today.